Last time on Wanderlust.
If we get a hold of one of those seeds, can I take out my... I have like a hunting knife.
Oh, do you want to cut it open?
Yeah, I want to cut it open.
Go for it. And the leaves that shoot out are extremely strange to you because they're huge for the size of plant this is, right? For this to be the like first shoot thing that would be coming out of a sprouting plant, like a germinating seed, it's really big.
None of that makes sense.
That's kind of what I was feeling too. It's... This is very... maybe they're from the moon people, but honestly, I'm kind of leaning towards that after this.
Yeah, I... of that opinion as well.
I would say based on what we were asked to do, which is stop a storm like that from happening again, I would say my gut instinct is to go east following the beetles. I don't know if we'll ever catch up to it, but figuring out what that was in the first place.
We're rolling some kind of notice.
Yeah. Just tell me what skill you're rolling.
Seven.
Plus. Seven?
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 Yeah.
And then you hear like a tumbling of loud footsteps and like right into a clearing in front of you, sliding down towards like a meadow around the river. You see a bear just slides like 20 yards in front of you, just kind of like slides back down, and it's like on its haunches, teeth bared, claws out, not looking at you. And then about an equally sized praying mantis comes crashing out of the forest towards it. You can see it has like on its front kind of like long, pointy, scyther-like claws. You can see that there's blood on them. Shoot, hang on a second. What color is your skin?
Light purple.
Oh shoot, that's bad actually. So that like initial curiosity, as soon as it like gets close enough to see you, like you can see more of the purple like washing in, washing out that green that was in its face is now just quickly turning purple the closer it gets to you.
She's gonna take out her kalimba and she's gonna play the same tone, like the ascending tone. I wanna match it.
Okay, so you match it. Its face turns more green. Its pulsing slows, and it is now just kind of like locked on you, but it still has like a very orange hue to it. As you made this walk, right, this next couple of miles here as you went, sun starting to come down, you can see evidence of more of these fights happening, right? As you watch two giant aerial creatures fighting above this river. And I will say what you guys need to decide now is, do you want to go around the river branch or try to cross the river underneath these birds? We're going to pick back up with all of you standing on this kind of rocky descent on this branch of the river high above your head. You're seeing a large bird, like a hawk, you know, with these massive claws sunk into a beetle. The hawk itself, like birds in your world, are far more like closely related to reptiles. So this looks more like near pterodactyly, like birds are not cute, fluffy, feathered. They are far more lean and long and dangerous looking, you know? So you see it immediately starting to pivot in midair. It drops this builder beetle that falls hundreds of feet and splashes into the water as these two things start circling around each other. This sort of waspy looking thing with the big claws in the front of it that's flying up. It's different the way it moves, right? Like, it's way more jerky and its wings beat far faster, but they're huge. Big enough that you can hear, like, air thumps as it's beating these wings as it flies up, its face that same sickly purple. It moves erratically, but way faster than you would expect, whereas the hawk high up there is moving in these, like, slow, big banks as it hardly moves its wings and is just, like, catching air and dropping. So, like I said at the end of the last recording, you guys kind of have a choice. You can no longer continue east without crossing a river, so you can either try to cross the river, or you can go north and try to kind of go around and find where the river narrows in and it becomes easier to cross. So this is basically a choice of, do you want to walk longer or walk harder?
So, not that I'm one to forgo adventure, but going under these things seems dangerous.
I'm in favor of giving them a wide berth.
Well, I think at this point I'd rather take the long way. Fred?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I've already had enough fighting big creatures for in town before we even left.
We go north.
Yep.
Okay. All right, that actually is relatively easy then. You can stay under the cover of the trees, so I want everyone to make me another marching check. You guys skipped what could have been horrible.
Is this a notice? Like, scouting notice?
No, this is basically you guys picked a direction. Had you gone out into the open, that would have gotten weird for you guys, but you didn't.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So for this marching check, what kind of skill are you looking for us to roll?
Like, athletics?
No, we're just doing the same thing we do before where we're, like, looking ahead, right?
So, okay, sorry. Let me back up and try to explain this, because this changed last time.
Okay.
This is determining how many tiles you go before you have some kind of encounter with something, right? It's basically like miles till problems is what we're deciding here. What I am looking for is, and again, we're abstracting here, right? This is not like, you know, if you want to say what I'm doing is dodging around trees and being light on my feet, athletics. If you want to say I'm looking for the best path and avoiding, you know, twisted ankles, notice. If you want to say I find a deer to ride on, animal handling, you know? So this is an abstraction. It's just a way for me to sort of randomize how many tiles you guys can go before you run into a problem. So it's kind of up to you what you roll. I'm not that picky with you about it.
Okay.
As long as it makes some kind of sense. Does that kind of work?
Yeah.
So I could use athletics. Like, could I say that, like, I'm trying to get us through a little bit faster and clearing a path?
Sure. Sure. I like that.
Like with, like, my machete?
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Okay.
I did athletics. I am trying to move quickly, and my endurance training with Autumn has helped me.
Yeah, you guys are running. I get you.
So I got a 2.
Mandy.
3.
Or Estelle. Autumn.
6.
And Fred.
Oof. 1.
I think that's more how we were doing it last time, because last time we did this, we were not averaging 2 a time, which is pretty short. So you guys start walking north, and as you do, the minute you start going away from this main river, right, so you guys kind of like slink back into the trees and start making your way down sort of a rocky mountainside that leads down away from the river, right, because the river kind of flows down from here. It's not super steep, but a little bit, right, gradual kind of step down. As you go, the further you get away from, like, that main large river, right, pretty quickly the amount of damage falls off, right? As soon as you're a mile or two away from that main big river, it starts to return to the forest that you're used to seeing. The canopy kind of gets more solid above your head. The sort of, like, dim but kaleidoscopic colors return, and you start to see almost an immediate return to wildlife, almost like there's like a pretty strict barrier where you stop seeing the builder beetles changing the environment. But as you start to walk out, this little river that you're walking along now, right, this branch of this river that's heading up north and snaking away, it narrows out pretty quick, right? So you're making good time, you feel far less danger as you eventually reach a point where it essentially returns to just being like, you know, a stream you could easily jump across or find a little, or it just gets narrow enough that you could walk over it. So just so you guys understand, if you want to look at the map, I can kind of show you what course you take here. So you go like 1, 2, 3, and now you're heading back south, right? At this point now, it's getting dark, right? It's like starting to creep on towards night. And as you start making your way back south from going around this little excursion, right, it's getting dark. It's getting on into evening and kind of like getting to the point where it's like, okay, we probably need to stop, find a place to wait. And I need all of you to make some kind of, like, reaction check as you're walking, basically.
What kind of reaction? Like a dex check or, like, a notice check?
Some kind of dexterity reaction, yeah. To either notice a danger or to avoid stepping in it.
Cool. I'm going to use athletics.
That's fine.
I'm going to use notice.
Okay.
My danger sense and CrossFit are the same, so doesn't matter. I got a 3.
I got a 6.
Okay.
I got a 6.
Damn!
Autumn's good at, like, one thing.
I got a 1.
Okay, so all of you are walking along. So you're kind of on like a hill above the river. And most of you kind of like realize you can see like this weird dip in the land in front of you. But the lack of light is making that difficult. And you see Fred kind of like put a foot into it. And Autumn, you like reach out and grab him and pull him back real quick before he like falls into like this crevasse that's like split open the land. You can see it's like from shifts in moisture that like the land is just kind of like split and broken here. There's sheer rock on one side of it and soft soil that's starting to fall off of it. And the split out areas, you look down into it, you can see like far off down in this pit. Like as you look down, you can see like some movement down there. And I'll kind of leave it up to you how much you want to dig into that.
So someone saved Fred?
Yeah. Yeah. They all rolled so well that I'll give you that as like a, like you stepped in it, but someone grabbed you because they were like, oh my gosh, there's a crevasse right there. Grab Fred.
It was probably like Fred's about to step in and he goes, watch out. And you're like, huh? And then Autumn just grabs like the back of your backpack and pulls you back.
Thanks for that. I didn't even see that at all. Almost stepped right in that.
Can I shine a it's dim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I shine a flashlight not directly down, but kind of along the crevasse to see if I can see something without like shining it into something's eyes?
Sure. Make a check for that. Like make some kind of investigation. And if this goes bad, then it goes bad.
That's a 5.
Okay. Yeah. So you kind of like bring your light along the edge of this thing. And what you can see is that this is a... At first, it's like, yeah, okay, this was like a natural erosion from like rain hitting this area, running through into the river. This is just like naturally a low point that formed. And then that kind of weakened the landscape underneath of it and made like, not like an avalanche, but like, you know, like it weakened the earth that was on a rock face. But the reason this area happened to be a low sunk in point is that the water was like pooling and running down into this like cavern that was actually like a split in the rock. And as you shine your light along it, you can see either like a cave, like you're looking down into a cave that is either there organically, like some old magma stuff that made caves happen here, or some kind of underground river, or something man-made potentially. And you can see as you like start getting closer and closer to the bottom, bodies starting to move down there of some sort. You kind of stop your light just in time to see the size of what you're seeing is not your size, right? Not builder beetle size, smaller than you. You think maybe small, like half the size of Guffy, right? Something, several somethings are like running along back and forth through there. And then like with a roll that good, you like douse your light right as you see something kind of like larger, like taller than those other things walking along with them. And then you like turn off your light and you just kind of get like the vague shadow of this thing walking past.
Okay. I relay that information.
Oh, and I will say also you like, if you lean down, you can hear like that same buzzing up and down, but it's more distinct. So instead of being like, it's like, so it's less of like a smooth just progression and more of like individual notes that you hear like pulsing from down there, especially as that thing walked past.
Well, last time we went into a creepy crevice in the ground, I found all this really cool metal, but I don't think I want to go down there.
Nope, I vote we get far away from here.
Yeah, I know it's getting pretty close to time to find a campfire, but if we can, or sorry, time to make a campfire. But if we can, I would say let's try and, I don't know, knock out a little bit more to get away from that.
I agree.
So you guys just want to, like, move along past here, basically?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, I will give you an option here, and this will matter. So it's getting to be nighttime. I will say you can either head south into the tile underneath of, like, just south of you and camp there, or you can camp in this tile where you know you're relatively close to a cave full of bugs. Now, keeping in mind, if you head further south...
We're going back into bug territory.
You're going back into bug territory. Yeah.
And also, where was the big hawk thing?
So we turned away from the birds, looped, gave it a wide berth, so we're not close to it anymore.
But you can either camp here, or you can camp where you saw a bird fighting with a...
Can we go one more east so that we're not running into the river? Like, south would take us closer to the river.
Yeah.
East would take us kind of parallel distance from the river, right?
So the reason I'm saying no to that is because letting you go one more tile from here is basically because moving to Z50 doesn't get you any closer to your goal.
Oh.
I would say if you want to keep going east, you have to make like a march thing.
Okay. So going south would be kind of retracing backwards.
Yeah. That's basically why I'm like giving you that free choice. And what I will say here is this choice matters, but I'm not like standing here with a dagger, like, you know, about to execute you guys, but I'm also not doing that. You know what I mean?
What terrain are we in right now?
So right here, you're climbing back up a gentle sloping hill. So it's rocky, but not like sheer mountain faces. It's easy walking up to continue going. If you keep going south from here, it's just like an easy, gentle walk up. You're in pretty dense forest right now. And as you walk up, it gets a little bit thinner as it hits kind of a wider area of this lake. So there's like actual beaches and some just low area where, you know, it's just kind of like a marshy, wet area. But right now you're in pretty dense forest, you know.
Okay.
Okay. How about another option?
Okay.
Instead of going farther south, potentially towards the hawk and potentially back towards the bugs, or staying here with cave or with cavern full of who knows what, how about we go back one northwest the way we came?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you that. Yeah, that doesn't get you any closer to your goal. I'll allow it if you wanna scurry back.
I vote that.
Okay. I was gonna say we just hang our hammocks really high on the trees. I mean, that's a completely better option, but you know,
we hope.
Yeah, I think if we can get some distance between us and whatever is in that cave is a good idea.
So we head back one square, Cody.
All right. So you head back down into like the familiar deep forest. It does feel a little bit like, oddly enough, returning home. Like, being in the wilds is weird to begin with, right? It's not great. And actually, we're going to do one thing real quick. Cool. We're actually going to find out what you do if you stop there.
Sure hope it's not worse than what we already left.
It is not. So, as you head back, like I said, it feels familiar a little bit. And almost serendipitously, you know, the lights are down. It's a little bit different. You're looking a different direction now. You actually see like a collapsed stone building off in this little clearing. It's not necessarily like a church, but it kind of has that feeling to it. You know, like as you walk into it, you could see, you know, like collapsed seating, maybe an altar at the front to something old and forgotten, you know, just like a brief respite you find in this little old forest, you know, just a broken down small building, almost similar to the ruins outside of your town. You know, you could maybe draw a connection to the architecture, but it has half a roof above your head and some walls, and maybe that feels nice at this point. So do y'all make a campfire and just kind of sit down?
Yep. We do.
Okay, cool. So the night is quiet as you guys build your fire, get it lit, eat your, you know, 2 pounds of food, take off your inventory. You, like, ironically, as you sit here, you can see, like, since this is a ruin and there's fallen stones and rotting wood, you can see tons of bugs around, and they look totally ordinary, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, normal-looking ones. And seeing that is almost a slap in the face of juxtaposition. Like, you shift a rock over and you can see insects. It's like, yes, in every textbook, these bugs, I can classify them, you know? As you build your little fire and sit around in this den-feeling little building of, you know, green and purple vines weaving their way through the old stones.
I think Estelle is sitting next to the fire and she's got like a stick that we found and she's just like kind of like ripping off the bark and throwing it into the fire.
So The ecological damage seems like a lot, right? It's not just me.
It is quite catastrophic, I would say. Given our trajectory along the river, I'm wondering if the bugs are following it on purpose because the seeds that they're planting need a large water supply.
Oh, now that's an interesting thought. I could see that.
Not that that really helps us. We know that they've been following the river so far, but I felt like it was worth mentioning, maybe.
Is this the river that we came on the riverboat in?
Oh.
No.
Okay.
So is it like anything we can do to help fix this? Or is it just kind of something we have to let be? Like, I thought it was just the builder bugs, but then we found the giant praying mantises and whatever was in that crevice. And then the giant hornet, bee drill.
Oh, that's a good one. I want to write that one down.
Autumn brightens up a little bit.
I mean, okay. I'm not good with bugs, right? Like, I mostly studied and worked with mammals and the aquatic animals that we work with back at the eco-herb. But from what I understand of invasive species, the options are like, introduce something that can take care of them. You know, the same way that you have like something like Guffy, if you've got if you're overrun with something like rabbits or like those, you know, those little tiny birds that their mouths grow really big, their beaks grow really big and they snap. Like those generally, you know, dogs like Guffy can take care of something like that. So you introduce something like that, or you get scientific with it and you put something in their water. But at the same time, you're not supposed to do anything to things out here in the wild. So I don't know where that line is. And I don't think it's just up to us to make that choice. So I don't know. I'm very curious what we're going to find at the end of this.
Me too. Like, this feels weird. Like, it doesn't feel natural. And I don't know what that means for anything with not messing with the wild, but I mean, if we're being completely technical about this, us being here is something we shouldn't be doing. So, not that I regret it, mind you. Like, obviously, like, we've been given enough warnings to stay on the path and we haven't.
Right.
Like, I don't regret what we're doing, and I think it's important, but also, like, you know, letter of the law, we're not supposed to be here at all. So, like, what's killing a few more bugs?
For my perspective, when we started the day, I felt like, oh, just unearthing a few seeds as we go, not a problem. We could disrupt that sort of invasive planting. But now, given the insects we've seen so far, I think the problem is a bit more entrenched than we thought, and is, as Estelle said, perhaps bigger than us, and maybe not something we should be the sole decision makers on.
That's fair.
I would be curious, and obviously a lot of this is going to depend on what we find, but I would be curious when we get back to send out a message in the direction of where this thing is traveling and see if anyone else has gotten the same bugs dropping on them.
Yes, if Willow can get in contact with anyone east. I'm not sure where the nearest eco-herb is, but I think it would be good to have a warning so that they don't find themselves in the same predicament as Smoky Banks.
Right, or if, you know, if this ends up being something that we find out is a widespread problem, I mean, we've all come together before, even if it's been a while.
Or someone else might have a solution to it already, if somewhere else has already dealt with it.
Yes, that's also a possibility.
Because this giant thing that we're following probably covers a lot of ground, so they might have come from the east. Well, they came from the east originally, so that might have been... They might have hit a different eco-herb or been near a different eco-herb originally.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's totally possible.
Anyway, I think it would probably be good if we doubled up on watches tonight, just since all of the hostile things we're seeing.
That's fair.
But I think that's a bad idea. Maybe we try and go half the night and half the night, split it up like that.
Right, and if someone needs to doze for like a, you know, half an hour, like I think that's fine. But just so we have a few more sets of eyes.
Yeah, oh, and for whoever's not on watch with me, Kalimba's are pretty easy, especially if you're just going up and down tone-wise, so I can show you how to do that in case we see something.
That would be excellent. It's pretty dark out now, right?
Yes, it is. At this point, it'd be like on into evening.
Okay.
So dark is different here, though, right? Because the amount of moons above you just means that it gets dimmer, but far more chaotic in the skies above you, right? The color of the light shifts as the moons all pass around your head.
I was thinking about that recently, just like how bananas of a solar system we made.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Not only do we have that, but it's like we have two different color bands. We have a red and a blue star. So it's like we're getting like every different shade and color depending on the time of day.
Yep. It's weird. The color hue changes constantly, but especially at night, it gets real weird.
I love it.
Like rippling aurora borealis colors, you know, across as the moons move. That's just what the light is that's being, you know, reflected onto the surface of the planet.
Stop, Cody. I can only want to live in this world so much.
Who is taking the first watch?
I can take it.
Estelle can take it with Autumn.
Okie doke. So say as you guys sit there, like trying to look out, what is ominous is there's definitely motion, kind of a lot. Especially if you like try to maybe like climb up on some of the rocks and look like these like fallen stones and whatever that are around this building. If you clamber up there and look to the south, you can just kind of like see occasional things moving, maybe something flying across the sky. You know, it's all in these weird, you know, muted colored shadows, right? As you see something that looks sort of insectoid just hovering. Like, just, like, silhouetted in the moon, flutter across. But nothing comes right up to you guys.
I think this is literally the worst version of the wilds that I can think of. Is just giant bugs. Ugh.
Yeah, not my favorite, I have to say. Like, usually, it's more the giant part that I don't like. You know, like, small ants, not a problem. But giant praying mantises, big problem?
Yeah, a little bit more than a big problem, because they're also stabby, apparently.
Right?
Like I said, that was not my forte in my studies.
But we made it through, and we're doing great. And, like, especially after last night, I think you're doing amazing.
Right, I may have snuck some of those electrolytes from Juliet. Estelle, like, I don't think it's, like, breaking a stick like a big snap, but she's just like still just like tearing apart a stick pretty methodically and throwing it in the fire.
It's like five or six sticks deep now.
Yeah.
I don't mean to pry, but you seem like you have something on your mind, Estelle. More so than just the giant bugs.
Yeah, that's definitely there too. No, I'm getting really frustrated with Mitchell and Matthew, and I don't know. I didn't want Matthew to get introduced to all of this. Like, I thought he's, like, really talented, you know? Like, Matthew is so, he just has this gift in the kitchen. And I thought between that and a new place where he's like making friends and there's the ocean, that would be enough to not get him interested in doing all this dangerous shit. And I know I'm being a total hypocrite being out here and saying that he shouldn't do that. But it's driving me insane knowing that he's back there just... Autumn, he ran into a building that was falling. Like, I don't want him to do that. I don't want him doing that.
So I can't say I quite understand where you're coming from, Estelle, like from experience. But I think you're misunderstanding Matthew. I don't think Matthew is looking for something dangerous. Like, if he was doing that, like, if he was getting indirects on hoverboards all the time, or, like, doing crazy stunts or stuff like that, that's dangerous. I think he's helping people, and I think that's what's motivating him. I don't think he's doing it for the thrills. In the same way that I don't think his mom is doing it for the thrills. I think she comes out into the wilds to help people, and I think he learned that from you, if I were to take a guess. That helping people is important, even if you have to risk yourself. And if we're being completely honest, I think he, like, did the safer bet because we ran off for 3 children into the wilds for a week and a half, where he just ran into a building where he knew people were definitely in it.
Yeah, I know. He just seems so young still. It's hard to look at him and think of him as anything other than my kid going into a dangerous situation.
Yeah. And that seems really tough in ways that I hadn't really thought about before. I mean, because back home, like, I did stuff like that. I was...
That's right. You were probably driving your parents insane, too. How'd they let you get away with it?
I don't think they really handled it well. Like, I mean, like, if we're being completely honest with everything, I'm out here now. I didn't leave home because I felt fulfilled and supported there, you know?
Okay. So as a child in a situation like this, obviously I'm on the other side, what do I do as a parent to be like, don't do that, but not say that?
I don't think there's anything you can do to change his mind. You raise Matthew to be a good person, and you can't take that back.
Damn it.
And nor do I think you really want to. But if you don't want to have Matthew be driven away like I was, I think you just need to be there for him. Matthew knows what he's doing is dangerous. I knew what I was doing was dangerous. Running into burning buildings, fighting fires, doing search and rescue, these things are dangerous, and he's a smart kid. I was a smart kid. Like, we know what we're doing is dangerous, but it needs to be done. What he needs is someone who is there for him and wants him to come home.
Well, I mean, I definitely always want him to come home.
I've never doubted that, but as a 16-year-old, when your mom says everything you're doing is wrong, I can see him doubting that.
Okay. That gives me something to think about. Thank you. I definitely appreciate hearing the other perspective on this.
Anytime. I'm happy to help. And Estelle, I want you to know, like, I mean it, that I'm going to train him when we get back.
You know, that actually does make me feel a lot better. I don't know if I said that before, but it does.
Oh, thank you.
I've seen you out here. Like, here's the thing. I've been meaning to tell you this for a while. It is insane how much of a natural you seem to be out here. If I didn't know that you were from a symbiote, I would think that you were a wildling. And you were just growing up out here with, not the bugs, but, you know, maybe a giant wolf.
Autumn, like, blushes a little bit.
So I definitely trust that you have the skills to back up what you're saying when you say you're going to train him. So that makes me feel a lot better.
Well, thank you. And I've run into my fair share of falling down burning buildings, so.
Ugh, still not great, but hopefully there won't be a lot of burning buildings.
I don't know if it gets easier. Like, I never really asked my parents, and... Maybe I should write to them. I think I need to... Azel, thank you for helping me see the other side.
You're welcome. Definitely call your mom. Or message her, I guess. We don't have calls here.
As your watch winds down, you know, the fire burns down a little bit. You get up, stretch, you know, go to throw another log of dead wood on it. And as you stand, Estelle and Autumn, the smell changes. You know, the forest has a decided scent to it, right? Like this kind of natural smell of leaves and grass and animals and earth that intensifies. It becomes almost syrupy. Like you feel like you can drink the air. There's such like a, not necessarily a bad, but an overwhelmingly organic smell. Far off in the corner of this little ruined church, right? Like maybe you guys are all near the whatever altar was there that's long since collapsed. Not in the doorway, but like off to a side where the stones have fallen and cracked and there's now weeds and plants growing up. You can see like a loose pile of dead leaves beginning to shuffle and this whispering of dead plant life slithering on itself gets louder and louder and louder as you see a figure raise itself up out of the leaves. It, at the moment, is in shadows, right? Far off from you guys. And once it gets to about, you know, 5.5 feet tall, it starts moving towards you with that dry sound of leaves rubbing over each other as it kind of doesn't walk, just slithers its way towards you. Doesn't, like, lay along the ground, but it clearly bends forward and just shuffles across the ground towards you.
Are we standing?
You can be if you want to be, yeah.
Okay, as it comes closer, Estelle is going to stand up and she's going to take out her flashlight, even though it's more just like a glowy stick. Glowy, grabby, and glowy sticks. And she's gonna kind of hold that out in front of her because she knows that Juliet said it was interested in her lantern.
Autumn grabs the spear out of the fire. Like, she doesn't hold it like not threateningly, but like she's also like, it can be like end in the ground, but kind of like, we're not gonna be unprepared.
Juliet would be so proud.
When you bring a little bit more light out, right, it illuminates this whole area and it, you know, throws shadows off of this figure that's moving its way towards you in this kind of slow bobbing way. When you look down its body, like it's wearing some kind of like leafy, barky cloak that's pouring off of it. And you can't quite see where its feet hit the ground as it rustles towards you. Its face is clearly made of like some kind of like drying bark and leaves that seem to be mashed into the shape of a somewhat feminine human face, but it's difficult to say. Its eyes reflect the light and glow like a honey-like amber as that smell gets stronger and stronger and stronger as it doesn't slow, just comes all the way up until it's sort of standing by the both of you. It looks at the two of you and then down at your sleeping friends, and you can see its face try to contort into something that looks like a smile.
I am so glad to see you again, friends.
We don't know this thing's name, right?
You have never found out a name for it, no.
Okay.
So you've met one of us before, right?
Yes, she remembers me. I am glad to hear it. May we wake your other companions?
I'm fine with it as long as you are. We didn't want to upset your hospitality.
That smile grows a little bit more pronounced, and she goes,
"Oh, the first time I just wanted to get a sense of who you are. I am excited to talk with all of you."
So, real quick, only Juliet had talked to her before, right?
Yes, correct.
Other thing of note, Autumn did get pricked by a flower from her before.
I believe that was actually Estelle.
Was it Estelle?
It was. Yeah, I got that wrong. I thought it was Autumn too, and then I went back and listened. It was actually Estelle.
I was reading the Wanderlust World Anvil you have, and it says Autumn, and I'm like,
yeah, I had it wrong. Yeah, I have to go back and correct that. But anyways, yes.
Estelle will, like, crouch down, and I'll say I'm near Fred, and kind of, like, shake his shoulder.
Oh, wake up, Juliet.
5 more minutes.
We have a visitor that you might be interested in.
Yeah, I shake Juliet. Hey, Juliet?
Autumn, what's going on?
Your leafy friend is back? I whisper. I don't, yell that. I'm just on a podcast and can't whisper in someone's ear.
Even in that whispered voice, when you say that phrase, you hear from behind you, as you, look up and see her doing an attempt at a facsimile of laughter.
Juliet stands up and sees the leaf creature. I had a dream about you.
I am not surprised. This place has a way of getting under your skin.
Can I ask your name? Or what we should call you?
I am just a phantom, nothing more than a ghost of a thought.
She doesn't have a name.
That's fine. No, I figured.
What can you tell us about the storm? In my dream, you were both there. The storm and you.
Again, that smile stays kind of plastered on her somewhat wooden face, and she slithers her way over to the stone wall that's closest to you and reaches out one of her hands and touches it and goes,
"One of the most fascinating things about visitors is what they bring to this place that is new and interesting to me. I think before I answer that question, I have to ask one of my own."
That seems fair.
I might ask what is precious to all of you, but I think maybe the better word is sacred.
Do you
mean it like an item, or?
Maybe.
You're not going to take this from us, are you?
She smiles and goes,
"This body will take nothing from you, but I do love gifts. But let me maybe put your minds at ease. I am not going to sprout fangs and devour what is the thing that you tell me you like the most."
Autumn whispers to Juliet and goes, "Not a vampire."
That cackling laughter happens again. And she, I'm just going to go with she, whatever. And she goes,
"I am not that kind of monster."
Estelle, she's going to go into her backpack and she's going to bring out another packet of those spices that she gave to Hugo. This might not be something that's the most precious to me, but it is something that reminds me of my son, and it's something that I think maybe could act as a gift.
Oh, do you hand it out to her?
I absolutely do.
She wraps her hand around it and brings it close to her mouth, but doesn't actually put it in, and just kind of when I say this, it's going to sound grosser than it is. She pulls her chest apart and slips it into her body, but it isn't she opens it up and there's blood pouring out. It looks like she's shoving it into branches, you know, and into a thicket of a bush. And she you feel her tense up a little bit and then relax and go,
"You care deeply for your son."
Yes. Yes, I absolutely do.
"Do you consider that in unending and unshakable love for family sacred?"
"Yes."
"I wonder about that. That's what this building's about, yes? What is sacred?"
"I don't have any doubt in my unending love for my son."
"You misunderstand my question."
She looks around again at the ruined building and goes,
You believe that whoever built this would have answered the same.
About my son, no.
About sons in general?
I don't know.
She reaches her hand out and, like, lays it gently on your face. And again, you feel, like, a surprising warmth and, like, worn wood softness to her fingertips. And she goes,
I have no children and no parents. I wonder what I could love without question and never ending. But you asked what was the storm. My answer is maybe unsatisfying for now, but it is that which is different, and it is meeting you. I do find that exciting. When I first met you new people out here, oh, it was a thrill to see someone new in my domain. It's always interesting to see how differing things interact. But it all comes back to that question. What's sacred? What cannot be lost? What can we not allow to change?
Are you keeping something from changing?
She, again, does that kind of, like, shrieking laugh, and she goes, oh, my dear, I am nothing but change.
I know you're probably looking for an answer, at least that's what it sounds like, but you mentioned that you said something about things that are new in your domain. Are those giant bug creatures new in your domain?
Yes, and they are as fascinating as you, and you will meet soon.
Did you visit them too?
They are different and have not been here as long. I have not yet had the opportunity to converse like this, but I have met them.
What is sacred to you?
She smiles again and goes,
oh, the wilds. The change, the uncertainty, the crashing of rocks onto new-grown grass, the death of animals in combat, survival and death and growth, and always new change, a new equilibrium to find, but little else.
As the conversation kind of winds down from there, she slowly kind of stretches up.
I thank you again for the gift. Now, my friends, please get some rest. There is much to see soon.
And she doesn't turn, she just slithers backwards, and as she does, gets smaller and smaller and smile. And eventually it's just like a tumble of leaves blowing in a breeze as that smell recedes. And she's gone.
So I know this was a big deal. But we got to meet the spirit of the forest, and I am very excited about this.
I do have one question.
What's that?
Am I still asleep right now? Is this a dream? What was that?
Estelle pinches his arm.
I was going to say Autumn, like taps him with the spear butt, like enough to be, like, a little painful, but not really hurt.
Did you feel that?
All right, so not asleep.
No.
So what the moons was that?
I think you and I, Fred, will have a lot to be keeping us awake on our next shift. That was the Leaf Phantom of the Wilds. Glad we're all acquainted now.
I'm leaning towards Lady Phantom or Lady Leaf. I don't think I like either of those. Estelle will look up at all of the moons. Have we kind of gone halfway through the night?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She came at, like, the midway point.
Well, that's pretty convenient. I don't know how I'm going to go to sleep, but...
Yes, good luck with that.
I think I'm going to go pray and then... You and Fred got it, Juliet?
Yeah. I'll be definitely awake now.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to get back to sleep now.
Do you want the company when you pray?
Sure. Have you done a chalk dance before? And they, like, head off.
Do, Juliet and Fred, do you want to do anything during the watch? I will say no is an acceptable answer here. I just don't want to, like, snub you.
Right. No, I don't have a scene, but I think Juliet would want to be getting acquainted with her glowy grabby. So Fred could be, like, showing her, like, the different features or, like, basically just, like, messing around with the mechanics of it and, like,
yeah,
how to use it well.
Oh, so one other note. Autumn, as you reach into your bag to get out your chalk, you're, like, rustling around and you find something unexpected and pull out a book that you do not remember packing. The front of it's, like, really super cheesy looking. It's, like, a smoky room with, like, a detective holding, like, a hand laser on it, you know? And it's called, like, Detective Laser Does It Again or something like that. You flip open to the first page and it just says, Autumn, sorry, dinner didn't, like, it was, like, written in pen on the first page or, like, on the flap. It's like, Autumn, sorry, dinner didn't go as expected. I meant to give you this before you left. It's, one of my favorite books, first in the series. Give it a read and we can talk when we get back. And, you know, Mitchell.
So did he write that on the book or did he put like a little note that he wrote it on?
I'm personally offended by that.
Yeah, right?
Oh, no, he definitely wrote it on the book.
What a monster.
No, you guys are all wrong. Books are tools. You can use them. You can write in them.
They're made of paper. They're meant to be written on. You know, I don't know.
I know. It's just like a really personal note for all time in that book.
Right. It's like, okay, yeah, if you're making, like, margin notes about the book or something, but writing just a note that won't mean anything in 5 minutes.
I want to ask you guys something, and I want you to look deep in your heart. Have you ever written a margin note that's mattered for posterity?
Sometimes.
Look deep in your heart.
Sometimes it's fun to go back and look at them and be like, wow, I was a stupid high schooler.
Sometimes it's fun to go back and remember that you got this book as a gift because you had an awkward dinner.
Oh, he's giving it to her. Okay, I thought he was, like, lending it to her.
Yeah, same. That's what I thought they were doing, like, a book, like, lend.
Okay, that's different.
Nebulous.
Okay, if he's, like, giving it as a gift for her to keep, that's a lot less weird.
I don't think it's weird either way. Anyway,
I think it's weird to write a note saying temporarily I'm giving this to you when you're going to get it back. Anyway,
we've lost the thread or the page, if you will.
I won't.
Juliet, Fred, anything else you want to say you do aside from, you know, practice with the grabby glowy? Because you guys are like loading logs onto the fire with it, you know?
Can't think of anything specific.
Okay, that's fine. So, you know, eventually, you know, moons leave the sky, the sun's come up, you know, you can hear the tweeting of less murderous birds, you can hear the sounds of animals, you know, waking and rustling around, and Estelle, you wake up, and, you know, like, kind of are groggy, you open your eyes and look down, and just see, like, say, like, a fist-sized stone sitting on your chest. When you reach up and grab it, it's light, and you can tell it's hollow. Somewhat, like, it's not solid, like, it's not a stone, you know, it almost feels like an egg, but a little bit heftier.
Okay, pick it up.
Okay. You have a somewhat hollow-feeling rock.
Is it actually a rock?
It's gray.
If I shake it, does it sound like there's something in it?
When you shake it and, like, hold your ear up to it, you just kind of get a whiff of that smell that you smelled last night.
Okay, I'm just going to hold on to it for now.
That's cool.
Before we, like, move on, I think Juliet wants to... is there green foliage around here?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. She wants to find some green foliage and make, like, a leaf mask so that her face, her purple face, can be concealed.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Roll me some kind of crafting check for that.
Or we can ask Fred to do that.
I have plant identification if I can... I don't know if that's helpful.
You can find some plants that are green and not poisonous.
Otherwise, I have dexterous hands.
Okay.
I'll do dexterous hands for crafting. That's a 2.
So with the 2, like, I'm not going to say this looks good, but it covers your face and has eyes and a mouth hole, you know?
Perfect. Yep, that's what I'm imagining.
It's not stylized, but it's not falling off, you know?
Yeah, so I make it so that I can have it up for a bit, so then it'll be on top of my head, which I think is good.
Oh, and then you can flip it down.
And then if we run across something, I can pull it down.
That makes sense.
Well, once Fred sees Juliet with her
leaf mask,
plant mask, he's going to just kind of look at her and give a little laugh and be like, it's not easy being green, is it?
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.